The title of the new series is called The Way. And we know in John 14, 6 that Jesus said, "What, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." And I'm going to talk about the way. And the way, I believe, is found in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And I'm not going to spend a great deal of time this morning going back through Hebrews. The author is unknown, but many people, including myself, I believe that the Apostle Paul wrote Hebrews. But that's debatable, and I don't want to debate you on that. I just believe that he did, but the author is truly unknown. And it's for the Jewish people. And there are a lot of things that Paul covers in a lot of the other epistles that we find in here about the culture and different things like that. But the early chapters in Hebrews, he talks about how Jesus is the high priest and how that he's higher than the angels. And it kind of talks about the lordship and a lot of fundamental theological things you can find in Hebrews. But as he closes the chapter of Hebrews and the epistle, he talks about some very practical things. And that's really my goal this summer, is everyday living. The way, I want to challenge you in your Christian living. And so I'd like to begin with verse 1, just 1 through 3 this morning. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning with verse 1 through verse 3. The title of my message this morning is Christian Compassion. Christian Compassion. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. The first word is keep. And that word there means to abide, continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to remain, to stand, and to tarry. And then it says, keep on loving. The word love there is Philadelphia, which is talking about the kindness and the love for brethren, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a sad shame in church that we are so hateful towards one another, isn't it? That we're so unforgiving, that we're so judgmental, that we can't identify with what someone else may be going through. That's not the way Jesus thought of it. That's not what he asked of us when he formed the church, when he built this church. He formed it so that we'd be in unity, so that we could come together and break bread and take of the cup and have unity and compassion towards one another. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain. The Greek word there is philonexia, and it means hospitality. It says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. The definition of compassion, and there are many of them, but there's a few that I want to start with this morning. A deep awareness of and sympathy for another's suffering. The other one is the humane quality of understanding the suffering of others, and here's the key, and wanting to do something about it. It's one thing to identify with the hurts of someone. It's one thing to be able to relate to what someone else is going through, but it's another thing to take it a step beyond that and help them. And if I've seen any failure in church life growing up, it's that we can identify the problem, we can relate to the problem, but when it comes to doing something about the problem, that's where I think most churches fall short. And I thank God for all this church is doing. But first of all, compassion is a part of the name. Jesus, God is the author of compassion. He's Exodus 34. Beginning with verse 5 says this, "Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, 'The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin.'" Listen to Lamentations 3 beginning with verse 22. "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his" what? "His compassions, His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His compassion is not limited, is it? You see, oftentimes we think it's like a line of credit. We have a certain amount and we can max that thing out, amen? But we can't. We serve a compassionate God that when you're hurting, He understands. And not only that, He takes it a step further and He wants to do something about it. God has the four-step plan. The three-step plan, the 12-step program. He's got everything that you could ever want, amen? And if you'll love Him and accept Him and follow Him, He can get you out of your hurt. And I believe, my spirit agrees with you, with what you said, Yvette, that some of you are brokenhearted in here this morning. God knew when He was giving me this series that this morning would be on compassion and there'd be some hurting people in this house this morning. And I believe that there are. You're hurting this morning. Understand, first of all, that Jesus Christ loves you, and that He identifies with you. Because no one hurt like Jesus. No one was abused like Jesus. No one was talked about and criticized and unaccepted like Jesus. So He identifies with that this morning. But it's interesting, the title of the series is The Way, but Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Society has kind of twisted the word compassion, and they've twisted compassion and they've kind of used it against God-fearing, God-believing people. And let me just give you an example. If someone believes different than we do, or different than what the Bible says, and we confront that, then we're not compassionate. For instance, if someone believes in abortion, and we don't believe in abortion because God's Word says it's wrong, then we don't have compassion towards those that believe differently than we do. But that's, friend, that's the enemy. That's the devil. Because, see, compassion is not about a belief, okay? I believe it's more compassionate to say that Jesus is the only way, that He is the truth, that He is the life. I'm not going to dance around that, because if someone's in the wrong, if they're on their way to hell, I don't want to flirt around that subject. I believe I have more compassion because I'm telling you the truth. Amen? And so don't let society and don't let a liberal view twist what God has done in your life and what His Word says. Because if something's wrong, it's wrong. And God says we're to confront sin and confront the demonic entities that are among us. Did you get that? Compassion doesn't mean you feel sorry for everybody and you accept sin and wrongdoing. You don't have to accept someone's unwillingness to live right or to do right. If someone's hurting you, then you confront that, amen? You don't have to put up with a bunch of junk because you have compassion. Compassion is the truth. It's understanding and identifying the hurt that someone's going through, and it's doing something about it. But you know as well as I do this morning that there are certain people that, man, you can pray about it, you can cry about it, you can hug it, you can kiss it, but if it ain't repented and it ain't right with God, there ain't nothing else you can do about it, friend. That's right. And so the Bible, I believe, is very clear on taking a stand against things. And just Matthew 18 is the best example I can possibly think of. If your brother offends you, you go to that person. If they won't receive it, you take a witness. If they still won't receive it, then you treat them as infidels. That's the Bible. So because you operate by that practice, that doesn't mean that you don't have compassion. Okay, I'm getting off. I'm getting a little rough here this morning. I'm supposed to be encouraging this morning. Y'all help me. Help me. I got too much of my dad in me this morning. Amen. I'm trying to get a little sweeter. I want to give you four practical things. This is a simple outline, but it's one I think that you'll remember. It's one that I think that you can take into these summer months, and God's going to bless it. He's going to bless you. He'll bless this church. Yvette, even the stuff we're doing in the community, I think these are things that you can remember. They all rhyme too, amen. I think God maybe gave me a rap gift this morning. I may have to flow a little bit. One of my friends, I've been wanting to bring Will down here. Wilford Blow, he raps, and he's so good. And I've been wanting to get him down here for a block party. Something. We'll try to do that. But Will, I always mess with Will and try to be cool, you know, and he laughs at me, you know. But his father-in-law's name, he's Latino, is Johnny Dale. Well, you know, our air conditioner's broke, and that's why Lynn's been driving his big beast out there. And we don't have air conditioner in our car, so I've been trying to buy a new car. I've been shopping at Ford. Long story. Johnny Dale, his name's Johnny Dale. And so I was looking for his number to call about letting him show me a few Fords. And so I text Will, and I said, I need Johnny Dale's cell. I said, don't be jealous of my rhyming skills, you know. And Will said, man, I just pictured your goofy rear end saying that. And you know, we said, we're still laughing. So I'm rapping this morning. I'm rhyming. I want y'all to be with me, okay? Four things that I believe will help you through the summer months. If you're going to show compassion, the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're going to be compassionate to people around you, number one, you got to be there. Everybody say, be there.
Be there.
You cannot be isolated, separated, aloof from hurting people or someone that's hurting and expect to show compassion to them. You can't, you know, even pastors, and we're bad about this. Pastors are bad about this. We're bad about preaching and then just being so separated from the people. And I've asked God to try to change that in me and some of my pastors that are friends, you know, because to show compassion, sometimes you've got to be with someone. You understand? You can feel sorry for someone. You can cry. But I tell you, you have to be with someone. How many of you have ever been at the hospital or when a relative died? And you know, all the cards and the flowers are great, but what really helped you was when someone with skin on came and hugged you and stayed with you and let you share with them and talk with them. How many of you would say, Pastor Ronnie, being there matters?
Right.
And if I could encourage the church as we grow and as you do things, remember the importance of just being there. You know, and I think Pastor Darrell knows this when he's dealing with youth. You know, you can preach all day long and you can bring them to service, but there's something to be said for after school for that few hours being there when sometimes other people aren't for them. And it's awesome wisdom to understand that it matters to be there. How many people in society are so hurt? Who maybe didn't have parents or didn't have a mother, didn't have a father, or who people weren't there for them. It means a lot to be there. To be there. And to be there, you must be patient with people. Patient with people. As again, it says, keep on loving. And I said, abide, continue, dwell, endure. All those definitions boils down to just being there. Sometimes you don't have to say a word to somebody. When they're hurting, just you being beside them means the world. And I'm telling you, and the Holy Spirit works the same way. Sometimes you don't have to throw your hands up and scream, fall down, holler, all that's good. But sometimes just being with God, just being there, amen? Just being with Him. Understanding that when you get up, you're with Him. When you go through your day, you're with Him. When you go to bed, you're with Him. Everywhere you go, He's leading. Man, there's power in that. But you must be patient with people. You know, we get frustrated with people, don't we? Man, I do. I want them to change and do exactly what I say and do exactly what the Word says. And I want them to do it my way, but that's not always how it works, is it? If you're going to make a commitment to be there, you need to understand that you can't be there on your terms. When you're going to be there with somebody, be there for somebody, you're going to have to be patient with them. Because sometimes they're going to get on your nerves. Sometimes they're going to be ugly to you. Sometimes they're not going to be willing to come around and do the things that you think they ought to do. You got to be patient. I thank God that people have been patient with me. You know, has someone been patient with you? Has Jesus been patient with you? I mean, when you got saved, did you do everything you were supposed to do the next day? Or are you still walking? Is it still a process? So it's wrong for us to expect more out of other people than we're giving ourselves. Next, it's being persistent. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Keep on. When someone offends you, you keep on. When someone hurts you, you keep on. When someone hits you, you turn the other cheek. When someone offends you, you keep on loving them. Right? Does it say stop? You keep on loving them. Keep on keeping on. It's the presence. Patience, persistence, presence. Your presence means more than you'll ever know. In church, in the lives of your friends and family, just being there means a lot. And also, it says keep on loving. That relates to the passion. You know, do you love people? Do you love people? Because if you're saved and Jesus lives in you, you ought to love people. You ought to love people. And as pastors, I think there's a lot of pastors, Pastor David, that can preach, that can sing, that can lead worship, that can have all the gifts in the world, but they don't love people. And the ones that don't love people will never make it. There are a lot of great preachers I've heard that didn't love people. And this is, we are in the people business. Jesus was in the people business, amen? Didn't he die for people? For all of us? We need to love one another. So the first thing is to be there. Everybody say be there.
Be there.
The next thing is to be aware.
Be aware.
Be aware. Be there. Next, be aware. It says in verse 3, remember those in prison. Remember those. Remember those. That's an awareness. Remember those. It means that you're aware that there are people right now, at this same time, in every city and state in the United States and in countries across the world that don't have something to eat right now. You're aware. It's also, you're aware this morning that someone got up surrounded by bars in a prison. You're also aware that some mother lost her child this morning. That someone aborted a child this morning. You're also aware that someone was probably murdered in cold blood this morning. That someone got up and was abused by a parent or grandparent. All within the past hour. Somewhere. In every state in America. As a Christian, to be compassionate, to show Christian compassion, to have that, we must have an awareness that there are hurting people all around us. You see, it's one thing to be there with the people that we love and that the people we know and that the people that we interact with, but the next thing is to be aware. To be aware that there are hurting people everywhere. If anything that I've failed and done wrong in my years in ministry is that I've got up maybe and preached and that I haven't had a broken and contrite heart towards people that may be hurting. I haven't been willing to listen and pray and identify with people that are hurting. You know, it's one thing to be there, but it's another thing to be aware of the needs that people have. There are people that are hurting, that are miserable, and we need to be aware of that. Don't live in your own little box. Don't live in your own little world. Understand that there's a great big world out there. And there are people hurting. And God, if He's filled you, if He's saved you, then you have the power to do something about it. You, everything that you do, whether it's in business or in church or through the sharing of your testimony, everything that you do ought to meet a need. It ought to meet a need. Even if it's in business, God has blessed you in your business so that you can use those skills and the resources that God has given you to make a difference in somebody. I mean, the secular world understands this. When is the Christian world going to understand it? I mean, all I get from believers is all this negative stuff about Oprah and this demonic doctrine, and I don't even know about it. But I tell you this, she gives an awful lot of money to hurting people. She sure does, and I'm not excusing any of her doctrine. I don't know it, and I'm not going to claim to know it, but let me tell you something. We're sitting there criticizing, the Christian community is criticizing a lady who gives millions to hurting people. And you know what I say? Hey, until you're giving a couple billion a year to orphanages and hurting people and homeless people, then come criticize somebody to me. Isn't that, really? Because the Christian world's not doing that much. Sorry. We're taking care of our own. Be there. Be aware. Be aware of someone's history. Be aware of their past, the things they've been through. You know, a lot of times we lash out at someone and we don't stop and discern and we think about where they've been or what they've gone through. We just write them off. How were they raised? Do they know the Lord? Well, if they don't know the Lord and they were raised different, then what do we expect? How were you when you didn't know the Lord? How'd you act? Right? But a lot of times I believe that if we will stop and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, we won't react in an ugly way to people. And we'll win more people to Jesus if we'll just be aware. A lot of times I'll be sitting there fighting with someone or arguing with someone, and it hits me, you're fighting a demon. You're arguing with a human being, but your fight is a lot bigger than that. This person is not saved. This person does not understand the things that you understand because of my grace. I want to encourage you this morning, don't get in big heated debates with people that aren't believers. Okay? Love them, try to minister to them, try to reach out to them, but if they won't receive it, keep moving and leave that line of communication open. Be there, number one. Number two, be aware. Number three, be fair. Be fair. Be fair. It says, as if you were their fellow prisoners. Be as fair to someone else as you'd want them to be fair to you. Be fair. It says, as if you were fellow prisoners. So it says, be aware of what they've done and where they've been and what they've gone through. But then it says, put yourself in their position. Put yourself in their shoes. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. You know, be fair with people. If people don't know the Lord or they make a mistake, let's be willing to build them up. Let's be willing to lift them up. Let's be willing to forgive them. Why is that so hard? Be willing to forgive people. Be willing to understand that everyone is not going to be as knowledgeable or as perfect as you are. We got to be fair with people. And if a church is going to grow and be where God wants it to be, we must understand that we can't expect everyone that comes in here and that attends this church or that's going to walk through those doors are going to be cleaned up and speak the lingo, the language that even understands the Bible. You know, we must understand that this is not us four and no more. That this is a welcoming, open place for hurting people to come to receive help, to receive Jesus, to receive love and compassion. That's what a church is for. It's so that we can be compassionate and that we can love other people. How many of you would say, Pastor Ronnie, I need to be more compassionate to people. I need to understand. I need to be there more for the people in my life, but I also need to be aware of where people have been and what they've gone through before, because a lot of times that makes a big difference. If someone is not very, I don't know what the correct word is, but if someone is not very huggy and kissy and they don't want to hug you and embrace you all the time, affectionate, if they're not very affectionate with you, could it be that maybe they were abused at some point in their life? Maybe they don't feel comfortable hugging you. But a lot of times, what do we say? Well, that's rude. I tried to shake their hand or hug them, and they didn't hug me back. Well, maybe you don't know. That's what I'm saying. You don't want to be, I mean, don't judge people. We must know where they've been and what they've gone through. And here's the thing. The reason many of us don't make it that far is because we're never there for people. See, you got to be there before you can even get to understanding someone's hurts or their history. If you're not there, if you're not willing to get beyond yourself and be there for someone other than your own people in your inner circle, then you will never be able to identify with where they've been or what they've gone through. Be fair. You know, when I worked in the insurance world for 7 years, I started in customer service doing different things and moved up and all that good stuff and got to kind of oversee a call center and different things. But they threw around two words, I mean, all the time. Empathy and sympathy. They always encourage you to be empathetic and sympathetic when you're dealing with a customer. Okay? And empathy means you identify with someone else. You're identifying with someone else and what they're going through. And we've talked about that. And sympathy means that you don't just identify, that you hurt for them. The truth is that empathy and sympathy, neither one of those really define compassion. They really don't. Both of them are maybe a part of it. But compassion, again, is doing something about it. It's loving that person enough, hurting for that person enough, identifying with that person enough to go beyond yourself and do something about it, isn't it? Look at Matthew 20, chapter 25, beginning with verse 31, and I'll just begin to read. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on the throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on the right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited Me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you looked after Me. I was in prison, and you came to visit Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" The King will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of Mine, you did for Me." Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers, you did for Me. When you help someone and you show compassion to someone that's hurting, in sin, struggling, friend, you've served Jesus. Do you understand that? You've served the King. You've served your Father. Whenever you show compassion, even in these streets, even during these summer months as we do block parties and movie nights and all the things, medical clinics, all the things that we're wanting to do, when you serve, you're serving God. So that's why when you're there, even if someone's mean to you, you're serving Jesus. Even if someone doesn't appreciate you, you're serving Jesus. You're not serving them, you're serving God. Be there, be aware, be fair, and be rare. And I don't mean bloody and uncooked, amen. I mean be rare. Not widely known, not frequently used or experienced, uncommon or unusual. Not widely distributed, not generally occurring. But here are the ones that I like the most. Be rare. Uncommonly great. Uncommonly great. Kind to a rare degree. exhibiting uncommon excellence, superlatively good or fine, highly valued because of its uncommonness. Be like Jesus. Be different. Be highly valued because of your uncommonness. Be excellent. Be great. Be extreme in your compassion and your service towards other people. Be there. Be aware. Be fair. Be fair with yourself too. Don't be so hard on yourself. And be rare. To be rare is to love, first of all. It's to love. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. That's compassion. That's a broken and contrite heart. It's to lay down your life, be willing to serve someone that may not appreciate you, that may not accept you, and friend, by your standards, may not deserve it. To give your life, to give your money, to give your time, to give everything that you've got to help hurting people. I believe that's why this church was founded, was to help hurting people, to be different, to be set apart, to do the work of the Lord. Let's don't ever forget what you were started for and what you were founded on. And I believe you were founded on the Word of God, but I also believe you were founded on compassion, to help hurting people. And so as we enter into these summer months, a time of sharing, a time of giving, a time of sowing into this community, why don't we be compassionate? And to be compassionate, we understand these simple four things, and I know it's simple, but I know that you'll remember these. Be there, be aware, be fair, and be rare, be different, be like Jesus. To be rare is to be like Jesus. Next, it's to take action. It's to take action. It's one thing to be there. It's one thing to be aware. It's another thing to be fair. But friend, to be rare means you take action. See, because that's going to set you apart. That's what's different about you and the other person. Because see, everybody, or most people, can think, oh, that was awful. Ooh, that I feel sorry for that person. I hate that they're going through that. Some may even go a step further to be there. But for someone to actually implement something to make it better, to actually spend the time and the money and the resources to help someone out and make it better, that's what it's all about. God, forgive us for where we've not went above and beyond to serve people. It means to love. It means to take action, to be truthful. And finally, it means to be obedient to His Word. You must be obedient to His Word. If you're going to show compassion, you've got to obey God. You've got to obey Him. Which that means when it says to forgive, you forgive when someone's hurt you. That means when it says go into all the world and preach the gospel, you go into all the world and preach the gospel. That means when it says be patient with the brethren, you're patient with the brethren. You don't expect people to change in an instant because you didn't. That means you're persistent in what God has called you to do. If God has called you to do something, and if you're saved this morning, He's called you to do something greater than yourself. You got to be passionate and persistent. You got to love people. And if you don't love people, if you don't love the brethren, maybe you need to examine yourself this morning and find out if Jesus lives in you. I'm serious. Find out if the God who died and rose again lives inside of you this morning. Make sure that that's right, because once you've been forgiven and He's living in you, my goodness, it's easy to show compassion then, because you realize you've had it shown to you in a very tremendous way. Let's bow our head and close our eyes this morning.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.